This is Testimonial Tuesday with Dr. Drew Hall. I'm Dr. Paul Hambrick, and this is episode number 21 for 13 July 2010, where we hear the story of a lady who had leukemia and how an upper cervical correction helped her. Testimonial Tuesday is next.
UpperCervicalDocs.com.
To hear more testimonials about how people have been helped through the power of an upper cervical correction, please go to UpperCervicalDocs.com. Also, make sure you go to the Services tab at UpperCervicalDocs.com and learn how you can have your own audio podcast to market your practice and your clinic on the web. That's at UpperCervicalDocs.com. This is Testimonial Tuesday with Dr. Drew Hall. This is a show where we hear great stories about how people have been helped through the power of an upper cervical correction. I'm Dr. Paul Hambrick, and I'm here with Dr. Drew Hall, fresh from his trip to Mexico. How you doing, Dr. Hall?
Mexico. I'm doing good, Dr. Hambrick. Do I look like I've been to Mexico, or am I still pasty white?
No. You look like a native.
I got back initially, I sure did. I think I absorbed about 60 hours of sunlight.
Oh, wow.
Because as you know, when we're practicing, we don't get much of that other than through the window.
No. So you made lots of vitamin D while you were gone then.
I did.
Yeah. Well, just in case people are following and wondering, the very next day, after we talked last, every cherry in the world ripened on the tree, and I spent all day picking cherries. And my last lone chicken was murdered at some point. So,
I thought you were going to tell me that all the cherries went bad. In California, there's this fruit fly that just in the last year, because my dad lives about 400 miles north of where we are, and it's wiping out all of the cherries. They go in, they leave a egg, and they put it in each cherry, and then it develops into a worm and has wiped out the crop here in California.
Oh, wow. No.
He's all ticked off because he spent hours putting all these nets over the top of all of his cherries to protect them from the red squirrels in the area.
Yeah.
And lo and behold, another scavenger took them.
I know, that's the thing. Whenever you try to live off the ground in any way, shape, or form, there's only so much you can do. For grapes, for 3 years now, black rot has gotten them year after year, and I think I arrested it this time. But I'd say probably half of my grapes are gone because of black rot, and it's very frustrating.
Yeah, I wouldn't want to be a farmer. You never know what's going to get your crop.
Yeah. Well, cherries do fine out here. I mean, we always have more than we know what to do with. And that's the same thing this year. But anyway, I wanted to ask you about the guy from a few weeks back who had the super short leg who came balanced after the adjustment. What's happened with him? We never followed up.
Well, I'm supposed to brag about my patient follow-through, but unfortunately, he was one of these cases that didn't really listen to me.
Yeah,
I saw him two times after his initial correction. He was balanced both times. He ripped off all of the shoe lifts on his shoes.
Wow.
And let's see, I think it's been probably 5 weeks since I've seen him. He'll filter in the office one of these days again. As I told you earlier, I used to get pretty ticked off when patients wouldn't follow my care program, but I've come to the realization that everyone's not going to fit into our worldview, and instead of pissing them off, it's better to let them take care at their own pace, and a lot of those people end up being really, really great referral sources, and who knows, the guy may hold his adjustment for 5 years.
Yeah. It's just amazing that he dropped down that much and he stayed down.
Uh-huh. occasionally you see that happen, but wow. It was a good one for sure.
Yeah. Well, what have you got for us today?
I think we'll talk about my leukemia patient.
All right.
Just in the last 3 months, I've had 5 cases come in, but this is my favorite one. From all of them have done better, but this one I have some good objective data that we're going to hopefully publish soon. This gal actually works in a hospital in the LA area, and she's works in the alternative care department. Believe it or not, they have this in the hospital. And when she told me that, I joked that, oh, so how big is your office? About 2 feet by 2 feet? And she says that's pretty much the feeling from most of the doctors in her area, or at least how they feel about her alternative, or that department, I should say.
Yeah.
She got into the office through dinner with Doc, and initially headache problems, neck pain, sleeping trouble, pale, like a lot of the people that are sick. Under her breath told me she had leukemia. I was only one of 2 people she's actually told, and I think I understand her reasoning, and I'll just tell a side story to this, why she hasn't told anyone. I have another case in my LA office who has cancer, and he told his whole family, and he didn't choose to go the traditional route, and as a consequence, his whole family has, you know, been on him and created a lot of stress for him that he doesn't need when he's dealing with what he's dealing with. Mm-hmm. And so this particular case, the reason she didn't tell anyone is she didn't want to have to deal with the excess stress, because she's kind of chosen to do things a little alternative also. But she, 2 years has had it. This particular one is CML, that's white blood cell cancer. And to make a 8-week story short, she was tested every 6 weeks for 2 years prior to getting into the office, and her blood count was between 16 and 18,000. That's white blood cell. Normal is 10,000, a normal, healthy individual. And one day prior to her first correction, she got her blood test, and it was 17,000. And she wasn't the most stable one. I think I corrected her 4 or 5 times in the first 7 or 8 weeks. And week 7 comes in, and she says, I've got good news and bad news. And she says, the bad news is that I'm not 100% symptomatically better. The good news is I just got my blood test back, and they're at 12,000.
Mm.
And we're expecting another round of blood work to come in the next 3 weeks, and so that'll be interesting to see where that's at. But as we've talked about on here numerous times, many times patients will come in for headaches, and lo and behold, a very deeply entrenched disease in their system will respond by correcting that nerve pressure in the upper neck area. Mm. But that's exciting, and I'm in the process. I have all the blood work over the last 2 years, and we're in the process. I've never written a case study, but I'm going to have to learn how. So we're going to write that one up, and hopefully it'll get published out there.
Well, very cool. So you said that she's not told anybody that she had leukemia. Has she still not told anybody but you?
Yeah, just myself and obviously her doctors and one other confidant of hers. Uh-huh. In fact, I just did a dinner with Doc, and she drug a bunch of people over there, and I almost spilled the beans in front of 5 of her friends, and I saw her face get really red, and I was like, okay, I guess I'm not supposed to say anything.
Oh, wow. Wait, no. Dr. Hall does not put his foot in his mouth ever.
Ever. Yeah, I've occasionally been really bad at following those HIPAA regulations. Because I'm one of those people that I don't have any skeletons in my closet, and so I really don't give a damn if people tell all about anything that I've done.
Yeah.
And I found over the years that most people aren't like that.
Yeah. All right. Well, very good story. Thanks a lot, Dr. Hall. And I think I might be one of those other people. I don't really have skeletons in the closet, but don't just assume.
Yeah.
All right.
Well, we'll see you next week.
See you next week, Dr. Hall.
Well, that's it for another episode of Testimonial Tuesday. I'm Dr. Paul Hambrick. Please be sure to listen next week for another great story of how upper cervical is changing lives. For more testimonials, go to UpperCervicalDocs.com. Don't forget to check out the services tab so that you can learn how to truly differentiate yourself on the web. Any chiropractor can have a website. An upper cervical doctor needs to have his own podcast. Go to UpperCervicalDocs.com to learn more. We'll see you next time.